Be not afraid, internet. It is only lovers in the library. A book club of Latinx besties that read romance. We take turns, and this month was my pick, and I decided to choose an angelic monster romance called Exodus 23 by Fadis Moon. So welcome. Let's go around and we're not really wearing anything special. I had wanted, the plans were to, you know, wear multiple eyes so I could be as biblically accurate as possible. It didn't work out. So I am just wearing a green beanie with my fish sweatshirt because it's the godliest thing I own in the house. I had a crucifix that I used for a picture of Lesbiana's Guide to high school, I think. But I gave that to my grandpa because it was really pretty. And he is actually very religious. So
I'm wearing pajamas because I don't have anything biblical in this household, I think, at all. But that's fine because spiritually, I'm as fairly close to godly in my home, you know, out of everyone who lives here, I'm probably the one that's most godly, so that's okay. I'm drinking a cannabis infused soda, unless you are a family member on Ivan's side of the family, in which case, no, I'm not. And I'm just sitting here hanging out with my giant scrunchie. That's probably going to make an appearance later on in this video.
I do have a background of one of Radio Pirata's albums, the one that contains the song Ángel de la Guarda, which if you grew up around the same time period as the three of us, then in Puerto Rico, then you probably saw the commercials, heard the songs, etc. Yeah, I don't have anything godly near me either, unless you count my two dogs, which I 100% believe count because they are perfect.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the book. Let's talk a little bit about the author, and then we'll get into our discussion.
Religious eroticism and queer emancipation meet in a claustrophobic monster romance about divinity, sexuality, and freedom. When Diego Lopez is guilted by his mother into taking a low-key construction job in New Mexico, he doesn't expect to be the only helping hand at Catedral de Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe. But the church is abandoned, decrepit, and off the beaten path, and the only other person for miles is its handsome caretaker, Ariel Acevedo. Together, Diego and Ariel refurbish the old church, sharing stories of their heritage, experiences, and desires. But as the long days turn into longer nights, Diego begins to see past Ariel's human mirage and finds himself falling into lust, and maybe something else, with one of God's first creations.
I read that.
I feel like this like sugarcoats it a little bit. Like if I read this, I wouldn't necessarily think it was smut. But I do think it is pretty smutty.
It's pretty smutty. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But just to clarify, yeah, I just feel like sometimes you read a description and you're like, oh, this is going to be porn, you know? But sometimes it's like, this sounds like it could be a romance, like a 300-page, you know, softer one or two chili peppers kind of romance. And it's definitely all the chili peppers.
The five red hot caliente chili peppers. Yeah.
All right, so about the author. Freydis is best-selling, award-winning author with an affinity for quirky, speculative storytelling. A lover of culture, mysticism, history, and language, they constantly find themselves lost in a book, trying their hand at a new recipe, or planning a trip to a faraway place.
Thank you so much. They sound so exciting, and like such a mystery. Followers, believers, this is your spoiler warning. If you do not want any aspect of this biblical monster romance spoiled, stop here, turn around and read the holy scripture that is Exodus 32, and then come back and finish watching our episode so you can enjoy our discussion and let us know what you think of as well. Okay, so let's talk about why I picked the book, and then we'll go over our overall impressions, and then I have a couple of questions for us to go through. I decided that I wanted to read this book because I'd been wanting to read this book for a while. I had been wanting to expand the Only Lovers catalog to more men-loving men romances, but not just written by women, also written by queer men, or you know what I mean? I wanted to kind of like expand my horizons a little bit. I had seen Perpetual Pages on Instagram review this. I know that Andrea had sent it to me, I think, at some point. I was like, this looks interesting, because I had kind of expressed that I wanted to read a little bit more. And so, yeah, it had a really cool cover at first, and then it had an amazing, like, cover redo, and it looks so beautiful. I will, like, maybe flash the cover here because I think it's really, really, really pretty. And yeah, I was just really interested in the concept. I grew up, you know, Catholic, and I'm just really was really interested in the ideas that were going to be explored. I also love a monster romance that, you know, has a twist, that isn't just like a guy, you know, a guy in a monster suit. And I was curious as to how the angelic qualities were gonna, you know, and I was not disappointed. So that's why I chose the book, and I really enjoyed it, but I kind of want to hear from you. Let me know what you thought.
Yeah, I was excited because I don't think we've read a romance with like an angelic type being since we read the amazing series, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And so I was excited to return to some godly sex scenes. If you remember, that was quite common in those books, you know, they'd speak other languages. And so I was not disappointed. I think it was exactly what I was expecting. Okay. No, I will say, I think it was exactly what I was expecting it to be because I saw so many monster romance loving people praise it. So I knew, I was like, this angel's going to be freaky. It's not going to be like, you know what I mean? Like your typical, it's not going to be a person with wings. You know, I knew there was going to be some more freaky shit going on. So I went into it expecting that, and was not disappointed. I think if you are wondering to yourself, oh, does an angel romance truly fall into the monster romance category? This one definitely does. You know, if that was what was holding you back, let it be known. All monster lovers will like this one. I was also very pleased with, you know, I think this is just one of those books where like it just met all of my expectations. I wanted the angel to be monstrous and freaky. It was. I wanted it to be very smutty. And it was. Like, I wanted it to be like a sexy kind of religious. And it was, you know. So yeah, I think it was just exactly what I was hoping for in a neat little bundle of 100 pages, which I think is exactly the right amount for me when I'm reading something that's on the smuttier side. Like, I don't have the stamina for like 300 pages of smut, but 100, perfect. So yeah, no bad points for me. Like, it was a solid 5 out of 5.
I don't think I knew what to expect. As far as like the romance part of it, I figured there would be like monster component to it. So I kind of was like, all right, let's see what this is about. And like, I enjoyed the book. I think I grew up going to church until I was about 12 or 13. And then I like developed a moral opposition to the people who went to church with me, because a lot of girls my age were hypocrites. So I decided whatever, and so then I haven't really had any sort of like religious attachment, but there's a lot of like not like necessarily fear, but like intimidation when it comes to like religious stuff. So I was good with the plot and like the erotica of it, but there were certain parts in the story that like intertwined like prayer and like religious stuff with like the sexy part of it, and I was like uncomfortable with that just because of my personal relationship with just like faith and stuff and the way that like my family kind of like raised me in that space. So I definitely had to like take a beat and be like, you know what, like the author's experience is the author's experience. Like, they have a connection to the story that they're trying to tell. Like, my point of view has nothing to do with what's going on here. Like, try to like turn that off. And so then I was like, okay. And I was able to kind of lose myself more in the story and enjoy the book. And like, the writing is really good. And I think that it's like a really interesting story to tell. And it's like, an interesting take, I think, on like self-forgiveness. And also, you know, everyone always says like, oh yeah, your body's your temple. But I thought it was really interesting how it's kind of like a different take on our bodies being temples and like how we can praise ourselves. So once I got into like that swing of it, then I like enjoyed this. I thought this was like really good to read. But I guess I would like put up a disclaimer of like, heads up, there is going to be some mingling of like erotica within a space that is like a religious space. And so if that's something that you might get triggered by, then like heads up. But obviously you're reading an erotica called Exodus 23. You probably thought what was coming was going to be coming, and it does come, and it does. It does hit you. But yeah, I also was like, I think Christina raised the topic of like what the anatomy situation was going to be like once the angel finally like was unveiled. So I was curious about that too. And I was like, oh, okay. There's like, it was also that thing where I had to like sit and try to like picture it because there were so many things happening. I was like, okay, wait, I need to like spatially, where are we looking? And I had to blueprint everything out so that I'm like, okay, it's like when people are describing people doing a dance move in books, I'm like, wait, hold on. Like, when are we turning? So that was also really funny because I'm just like in the living room reading this, like. But overall, I had a fun time. It was a good read overall. I like enjoyed it. But yeah, the amount of times I had to like stop and either like think about what's going on or like picture something is pretty funny. But I think it was like for my own betterment in the long run that I like went through this reading exercise.
Cool. Thanks for sharing. I have follow-up questions specifically for you, Tashai. And I'm wondering, like, the discomfort, as much as you want to share, is it because you were, like, reading it and, like, where you were like, this is wrong? Or was it something, I don't know, was it, like, was there any kind of, like, aspect of, like, shame or anything involved? I mean, because I went into this completely, fully expecting, like, a worship kink. And so I just felt like there was no way that that wasn't going to happen.
It does say it in the content warnings in the
book. It says it in the content guidance. But I mean, I think that unless you are, I guess unless you are, like, I don't want to say, like, you've never heard of it, but I just expected it even before I kind of knew.
Yeah, I just looked it up just in case people are listening and mm-hmm. want to know. And I guess, yeah, it doesn't specifically say like prayer, but it does say that the book contains explicit sexualization of religion. I guess that's open to interpretation.
No, it's not even like it's not shame. I think it's just like in my head, the act of like religion and prayer is wholly separated from erotica. So it's not that I was like experiencing any sort of like shame or anything. It just caught me off guard because it went from like, oh, we're like praying. I think it's like there was this transition where the main character is like experiencing all these feelings of like guilt and shame because of the stuff that's been going on in their personal life. And then it goes from like, oh, well, let's like pray and talk about it, straight into like this erotic encounter. And I didn't think that it was going to A, hit that quickly. And B, in my head, those are like two very different spaces just because of, yeah, I don't read erotica that mingles any sort of like religion, just because in my head religion just kind of like stays over there. And like, you know, fully respect people's like practice of religion. If it like helps you in life, amazing. It doesn't really help me. It just kind of like, you know, bums me out because of hashtag reasons. So it just was like weird. And I don't care about like pop culture or media that like represents religion. Like I'll read I watched Constantine. I'll like read and watch possession things that happen in church. It's just, I think erotica is probably the only thing that I don't think I've ever encountered or participated in that is like mingled with religion. Kind of a caught me off. I knew what we were reading, but I've never encountered it before. So I didn't have any like frame of reference for how I was going to feel about it, mm-hmm. which is why it was like, oh, okay, this is like weird. This is like a hard no in my past experiences with religion. Interesting. And then it was like, okay, like,
déjate llevar, baby, déjate llevar.
Like, I'm not gonna get yelled at. So then it was like, all right, like, let me read it and like see.
Yeah.
So it was more like that. I also don't ever read the content warnings when we read stuff because there's nothing ever really that would cause me to not finish reading a book. Just like this was kind of just like a pause of like, oh, okay. And like, now I know that that's like something that I probably have to unpack at some point. But, you know, for now, it was not enough to keep me from reading the story.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Hozier's Take Me to Church is not this explicit. I think we've all kind of experienced that at some point. But I was like, you have experienced this. It just wasn't this nasty, but in a good way. So
many dicks.
Well, I feel like we talked a little bit about how we feel about angels and how we feel about them in a romance. So then I guess I want to talk a little bit about what you thought of Diego, who is kind of like our main point of view character. They are, right, trans mask. They've got a criminal record. They're also like a sex/cam worker. And I was wondering like what you thought about that portrayal as, you know, our main character, the person who is going to be romance, going to be enthralled by this angelic being. I thought it was a good place to start to like subvert expectations, but I kind of want to know if you had any thoughts about that or if you just liked Diego as a character at all.
Even if you like removed the angel part of it, like it already sounds like a bunch of like romance novels, you know? It's like the ex-con is like working a construction job to like start a new path in life, and you know, it sounds like who's this guy who writes all the like a message in a bottle and all those books, The Notebook,
Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah,
Nicholas
it Sparks. Sounds like it could be the beginning of a Nicholas Sparks book if you just remove like the angel component. So I was into it. I was into it, and I thought it worked really well here. I actually really liked all the side characters of Diego's family. Like, I just thought it was very realistic. And I liked that, like, mom was, like, supportive enough to like, oh, I got you this job with like Fulanito helping a church, you know, to like set you straight, but like I still don't approve of anything you're doing with your life. Like, kind of vibes. Like, it just felt very realistic. Like, the whole thing, like, I don't know, like, to me, like, Diego felt like the perfect character for this sort of romance. Just like just like their background story and the people who are in their lives, you know, prior to meeting this angel, I think just like set it up perfectly. So yeah, I was on board. I was rooting for them to be together. I was happy that we got a happy ending. So yeah, no complaints.
I thought Diego was cool. They had shit that went down, so they needed to get a gig to be able to like make some money. I do think it was funny that their mom was like, oh, I got you this gig, and then at the same time are like, you're gonna keep working? I'm like, didn't you give them a job for like a reason? Why is everyone on his family side like, what are you doing working this job? Like, he literally referred to this job. But I thought they were an interesting character. I think that there had to be some sort of like inner conflict, because if you had made this story be about someone who had never who was without sin, like there wouldn't be the like redemption part of it, or like the self-forgiveness part of it. I don't think that anybody who would have been like free of sin would have needed a godly intervention to like accept themselves and forgive themselves if they felt that they'd somehow like let their family down. But Diego's like, oh, hey, this is what I do. This is the reality of my life. I've done this and this before. It was a job. You know, I've had a lot of jobs. They were very frank about the kind of things that had happened in their past. And I thought that was really refreshing. I think there was like the whatever like feelings of shame Diego might have had more to do with, I think, their journey towards like identity and the family stuff. But everything else was just like means to an end. Like I had to do this to survive. So I thought that was like just a really nice portrayal of somebody who like, you know, has lived a real life, and anybody is worthy of like feeling good in their temple, you know, if, you know, they're good people, even though their family might judge some of their choices.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I have a quote here that Ariel tells Diego, where they say that you are my golden calf, Diego Lopez. You have remade yourself, rebuilt your own empire from within, and demanded recognition from the world, reverence from unbelievers. And I'm like, hot. I'm like, I love that this angel recognizes that trans people are hot as hell. And was very much down the clown. Yeah, I agree. I like Diego a lot, and I liked that it weren't like a perfect cookie cutter of a romance protagonist, and that it does show like the realities of like what marginalized people have to go through in order to make ends meet, even when they have maybe like the support of the family, and yeah, everyone is like worthy of love. Speaking, let's talk about the angel. What did you think about Ariel and as a character, but also like as far as like the mythology? So yes, Drea, we have read other biblical beings before with the horsemen. We've also encountered other angels like divorced from the Bible, like Aurora's angel, the angel in that. She was just a sapphic creature with wings. But yeah, like, so I enjoyed the idea of like that maybe Ariel was a fallen angel somehow, and then the god that we like know. And so I just wondered how you felt about the mythology that explained the reason why Ariel like was doing what he was doing.
I guess I've encountered like this kind of angel more like horror lately, and like literary fiction where like this kind of angel is like more common. And I like it because I feel like growing up, I would have never been able to imagine this kind of angel. Like it was very much like, even if a creature was like a fallen angel, you know, or something like that, like they still like, they were still part of that angel archetype. Like they looked the same, you know, maybe they were more like devilish or whatever, but they still kind of followed like the same description of like an angel. And I feel like as an adult, I've been reading more books that just kind of get creative with like how we perceive angelic creatures and how they are related to God, you know, like in this book, right? Like, it's not like, oh, I'm here on God's behalf and I'm like this direct, like, conduit. Like, no, like, you know, like Ariel is kind of doing his own thing. And I think with the horsemen, it was like a similar thing where they weren't like, you know, it's like, oh, we have like a father type, you know, who like created us, but we don't really like talk to him anymore. So I don't know. I like this kind of angel. I'm really drawn to more stories like this that just kind of like play on how I grew up experiencing divinity as a child. Like I also grew up very Catholic and going to Catholic church. And so, yeah, I really like reading this kind of portrayal as an adult. It just makes me think. And I like that. Separate from all the cool kinky shit this angel does.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm into it. And I get what you mean, Drea. I feel like I see a lot of like biblically accurate angel art a lot. Like I saw a biblically accurate Garf, you know, recently. And it's just like a cool like resurgence of that I have noticed as well.
Yes. Yeah. I saw someone post like a photo of their Christmas tree and they're like, don't forget to put the biblically accurate angel on top of the tree. And it was like a thing of feathers with eyes all over it. I think if I were to represent angels existing in a space, then I would have them be like shape-shifty outside of like any sort of physical restriction. Like that one angel type character from the erotica book we read who was like,
oh, my shape like changes, like I can look what, like whatever. And he
I
was,
no, I thought of that story too. God damn it.
That was like too much shapeshifty. That was like the most shapeshifty. I don't need a dick that acts like Flubber. Like, that's okay. But I thought he was like interesting. I wish there had been more like angel backstory. Like the mystery adds to the like, I guess, tension of this story. But I'm like, how did you get this house in South America? Do they know that you've been alive for forever? Like, once these like little details start getting added, then I'm like, wait, what? How does that work? Like, who's that? How do you know these people? Does this family get to know the secret? So I thought there was like a good amount of like spice, but the details were so interesting that then I was like, wait. Can I get like an appendix where I get a lot more of like a breakdown of this like history?
Yeah, we'll talk about it. I too also had questions about that. But you know, like I don't want to beat around the bush too much. We have to kind of like talked about it. So my next question is about, you know, we talked about Diego, we talked about Ariel, and you know, how did you feel about that chemistry? And this is a short book, but it felt like a slow burn. I feel like that also happened with the previous book that we read for me. At least in this one, I know that when we got there, it was like we just hit the ground running. We were like, whoa, this like prayer scene. I don't know what's going on, but I'm very excited it's happening. Like, I usually don't go back and reread scenes like that, but then I was like, wait, what? Let me go back. I started the whole chapter over. So how did you feel about the chemistry between Ariel and Diego? And like, you know, what did you think about the sexy times? You know, we had a couple of standout scenes for me were when they're praying, they're doing the rosary, when they have that kiss, and then like Ariel just kind of like flies away in a flutter of feathers, and I really enjoyed that. And then I want to say that at the end of the story, when we're in Brazil, and it feels like they've been together for a little while longer, you know, like, Tasha, you already talked about this, but I was going to say, was it easy for you to picture, you know, was it intriguing or sexy? Or was it too hard to follow? And, you know, because biblically accurate angels are supposed to be some of the most terrible creatures to behold, just because our human brains cannot comprehend what we're like seeing. Did that play into, you know, your enjoyment of that at all?
Yeah, it was giving me the vibes of like every like forbidden priest romance, you know what I'm talking about? That those are the vibes. I was like, I thought Ariel was the priest at first, because those were the vibes I was getting of like, oh, you're so hot, but like I'm the preacher, we can't like get together. But yeah, I thought the chemistry made sense. I thought that, I mean, I enjoyed all the sex scenes. I didn't have as many questions about them after, because I thought there was like throwaway lines that kind of, they were enough for me, you know. I feel like he said something like, oh, you know, some of the families know, like you can't not notice things, and I was like, okay, so they never talked about it, but they just know. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm just not like as curious. I was like, okay, yeah, like I mean, I feel like I would have been that neighbor who would have absolutely noticed, and I would have told my daughter, and my daughter would have told her daughter, and we would have been the family who never talked about it and just knew because we were always looking out the window. So that's kind of how I envisioned it. But yeah, I like their chemistry. I like the sexy scenes. I thought it was good. It didn't feel like a slow burn to me, but that's probably because of the prayer scene. If it hadn't been, like, if I'd had to wait for the kiss, then maybe, but I think the prayer scene happened fairly quickly. And I think before that too, like there was still like, they had the hots for each other.
Yeah.
So they just weren't like talking about it.
Yeah. I like how unsettled Diego was by Ariel from the beginning. It's just like, who the fuck is this guy? And why am I so attracted to that?
Why are they always taking off their shirt?
That's so,
do they want me to look? Yeah.
Exactly. I really liked that, that Diego felt like Ariel was under his skin from the moment that they met. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was great. It didn't feel like it was just coming out of nowhere. And yeah, for me, it did feel like a slow burn, because I feel like they did a lot of work before, you know, they ended up going to pray together. But I don't know. Maybe I was just impatient. I was like, let me see the angel. God damn it. Let's go. Yeah, and I was, you know, Tasha, I was thinking about what you had been talking about before. I think that, you know, for folks who are into, you know, this like, right, forbidden romance because of like the religiosity of it. Oh God, I can't say words. But that level of taboo, you know, makes it so much more risky, you know, and more, you know, more enticing to certain parties.
You mentioned like sexy priest, and I'm like, wait, okay. Because I watched Fleabag.
You watched Fleabag. Like, listen, I wasn't gonna get into it with you because I know you were working through
it. I completely forgot about that.
What's Fleabag?
Fleabag is a show. It's a show about this woman who, you know, is just going through some things. And in the show, she has a relationship with a priest. She eventually, if you've ever heard of The Hot Priest, this is the show that people are talking about. Mm. It's an excellent show. I think you would.
I feel like for me, the one I think of is that Australian show where it was like a priest and it was like the girl that he knew.
No.
So she was like,
yeah,
a kid,
the Thornbirds. Like, the yes, Thornbirds.
That's what I think of.
No, well, okay. So the difference here is that Fleabag, they meet as adults and both consentingly have like the adult sex. In the Thornbirds, he meets her when she's very young and nothing happens,
nothing happens
until she is much older, but it's still weird. It's weird.
It's certainly.
And in Fleabag, it's not like it's a relationship. Like they're friendly. They like commiserate with each other. And he's like a super cool. Like if I were ever going to have a priest, I'd want him to be my priest. Cause he like drinks beer and he's chill. But he's like devoted. And the like running joke with Fleabag is that she breaks the fourth wall and she like talks to the camera and will like say things and nobody notices, but like he like notices.
He notices it. Yeah.
And does it. And so it's supposed to tell like the interpretation is that means that they are like super alike. Like he gets her and he's the only person in the entire show who like gets her, but it's like for, it can't happen because he's like devoted to the priesthood. And it's
I also interpreted that as like him being like connected to an other, like we are like the omniscient like observer. And so if she's talking to God, he can absolutely tell when she's talking to God.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She knows.
You know, exactly. What's funny too is I definitely used to think that forbidden thing was for everyone. But really, it's not, because most pastors can marry and have relationships. Yeah. But it's like when you grow up in the Catholic Church, you grow up thinking that like if you are religious, you cannot love a mortal. You know what I mean?
And then it was very scandalous for me when I found out that some priests marry in like other, you know, in other religions and other I was like, what?
No, same.
Oh, that's allowed.
So. Look, funny that you mentioned the hot priest, because then I was like, maybe that's why. Maybe I'm not like an angel person. Maybe it's just hot priest. Mm-hmm. Hot priest had introduced me to this more, had been part of this more, and then
that scene
into
that scene things. In the chapel when he's like kneel and she does it. You were into that, so I'm I was like, wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I think it's because they were praying. It literally, it's just literally. That. No, they were like.
Mira, it's the nuances. It's like, now I know if it's going to be religious erotica, it has to be a priest, not an angel. If it's going to be a ghost, the ghost has to be...
have died and be the same age as the person. Exactly. It has to be an adult like
very
ghost.
Specific.
There's lines that I'm just like,
And that's okay. I'm happy to be here for this like journey of yourself, just discovery of like where your boundaries are.
Okay. But I liked the relationship. Once I like shifted my gears and like put myself into like got to the place where I was like okay, then I was like down for it. I think it was definitely like smut at first sight, and I wonder if, because Diego sees Ariel and is like, oh fuck, and I wonder if Ariel like met or sensed Diego and like could tell there was like something there, you know, like a potential in this new person that they're meeting. Like, oh, I wonder if there was like a similar chemistry, like on that end of things too, or if it was like the more time they spent together and he like got to know him, if it was like, oh, okay. There's like an interesting mix of like how hot was this? Because I feel like you said Diego got out of the car and was like, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that despite it all, it was a good experience. And I do think that Ariel kind of like recognized something, and that's that trans people are hot. And so it's like, well, it's been a while. Well, let's see what's going on. I did love the longing and the yearning in this as well. Whenever Diego was like in the bed and is like staring at the door, and I was like, get over here. I'm ready for you. It was very good, very intense, and I really like that. My second to last question. My very last question is not really a question, it's more of a biblical smash or pass. So we'll get to that in a little bit. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about the structure of the novella and how it ends, and if that felt satisfactory to you. Because that if there was a point of weakness in the story, I felt that that was it. It kind of ends in like a strange, now we're in Brazil, and you know, now you get to meet the people who are aware of my existence. And the whole time I thought we were building up to the fact that they were going to finish building the church and they were going to be helping some folks cross the border. And I was expecting the, maybe like the climax of the story, the non-sexual climax of the story, to be something about, oh, like seeing Ariel be the guardian angel. He said that nothing bad would ever happen to Diego because, you know, he would be watching over him. I expected that scene to happen and then it didn't. Like, so we went to Brazil and then I was like, oh, we have to get, maybe we'll stay here once we do more work when we're back in New Mexico. And I was like, huh. Like, I felt a little bit let down by that because I understood it as a happily ever after. But I felt like the stuff that had been built up with the church and them and the whole reason that they were building the church, I felt like it kind of got dropped. And I don't know, I just wanted to know what you thought about that, if you felt the same way.
I didn't feel the same way, but I think it's because I interpret it as, you know, like in the beginning, it's very much like, okay, he's looking for someone to help him build the church. Then it comes out like, well, actually, I'm not just looking for someone to help build the church. I'm looking for someone to do all these like crossings or whatever. And so I like that the ending was in Brazil because it was more like, okay, assurance that like Ariel wasn't just using you. Like there genuinely is like a longevity to this relationship that goes past that. So like, I didn't mind that it skipped forward because it was like, okay, cool. They've been doing the border crossings, like todo va bien. Now they're taking a vacation in Brazil. Then they're going back to keep doing the crossings. So it just let me know as the reader, or at least that's how I interpreted that, like, cool. Like they did the things they set out to do, but they are still together. So clearly this was about more than just completing this task. So that's how I saw it. So it didn't bother me to skip ahead like that.
I think it really caught me off guard that it was like, oh, I actually need you to help transport people over the border. That felt like it came out of nowhere. I'm like, we're here to build this church and we're going to help the people and help their faith because humanity's souls have been lost. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, cool. You have like a religious like thing that you're trying to do to help the people of the town and you're, you know, fucking cool. Like, that's cool. And then suddenly he's like, actually, I have another job for you. And it's like, sir, I did not apply for this job. Like, there's walking involved, like long distances of walking involved. I thought I was just going to build something and then you and I were going to like flitter away and like be having angel sex all the time. But, you know, then explaining of the network and all that stuff, I was like, wow, there's like an, he's like very involved in the community in like a different way. And now it's like not only religiously affiliated. So then I was like, okay, cool. He's like actually doing stuff to help the people of this town. It's not just a bluff to have the church. I appreciate that there's actual like on the ground assistance being done. It has more like weight to it than And then they were like happily ever after. But then it goes to Brazil too. So I was like, then I start thinking about like, did you guys take a plane here? Like, do you have an ID? How did you buy the tickets? Like, then it gets to like,
did he teleport? Like, what are his?
You flittered away. So then once you throw like that ending, then those details start bogging me down, and I'm like. Yes. But if he can fly,
he does have IDs. He does have IDs because he says every like generation or so, he wills the house to like the next ID.
Right. But there's so much paperwork involved. Once you like bring up paperwork, then I'm like, but where do you like? I don't understand. Like,
I totally get you. I also felt like, wait,
we're in not my head, think- I erased the epilogue. I'm like, they're gonna go to Brazil, but we're not gonna think about how they got there because like, I'm like. Yep. PSA.
Yeah, I get you, Tashai. I think we're on the same page because I was like, wait a minute. Like, it didn't bring the book down at all for me. I was just like, it's not where I expected the story to end. I was expecting a more dramatic, action-packed kind of climax, and that would maybe show a little bit more of his powers or his, you know, just in general angelic constitution.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, exactly.
I didn't think that was the last scene I was going to be like left with, was me like kind of thinking about that as they fuck in Brazil.
Yeah. And it was very sweet. It was very nice. You know, Diego's getting choked out. It was sick. It was good. I was like, okay, I love them. I love this for you, baby. And then the book ended, and I was like, wait, what? Oh, more.
I need like the, those like companion guides for certain books, certain fantasy books, where it's like, here's the like description of every class, and like, here's the description of how like the angels fell, and like, why these angels are over here, and there's other ones over here. Like, if I could get a little like appendix, like I said, I always appreciate a little extra detail once you start giving me intricacy. I'm like, what are the rules here?
Yes, and also I actually forgot to mention this, but the actual verse that the book is referencing to, Exodus chapter 20 verse 3, is you oh gosh, I already forgot it. You won't have other gods before me, which I thought was very hot as well. I was like, oh yes, that's very fitting. I'm into it. Yeah. I didn't want to end with like, would you fuck an angel? Because I feel like in any iteration, you know, in our minds, the most perfect moment, most perfect being, I knew the answer was yes. So I was curious. So I did not look these up myself. I don't even have a Bible in my house, but I know that there's descriptions, like these artistic renditions come from somewhere. And so I thought we could do an angelic smash or pass, like, just based on this Bible verse or verses, would you smash this angel or would you pass on this angel? Based on the
would I smash this angel or would I pass away?
Something like that. So this one's really short. This one's from Isaiah, chapter 6 verse 2. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Smash or pass?
Smash, because I like the feet being covered.
Oh, fuck.
Smash, because I can hitch a ride.
Sounds good. Okay. You're in the spirit. You're in the spirit of it. I would also smash. Multiple wings? Yes. Okay, let's go. This one is from Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had a human likeness, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands, and four had their faces and wings thus. Their wings touched one another.
Pass, but because this would be a very difficult entity to shop for around the holidays. All the hands mean extra jewelry and lots of lotion.
It's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. I don't know what I would be paying attention to. if I get caught off guard by something and then I think I'm like, oh no, and I'm out of the moment. So I pass, but I'm sure they're very nice.
I just want to clarify, when it says their feet are like calves' soles, is it like hooves. Soul, like alma? Okay, so they're hooves.
Yeah, like it hooves. Says the sole of a calf's okay. foot. So the hooves. Okay. That's
I just wanted to clarify.
That's fine. It's perfectly fine. It's good.
They were pure and fresh, like the sole of a calf.
I want to make sure.
It both work. Both work. Okay, here's the next one. This one is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 2 and 3. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. Smash or pass?
Pass.
Pass.
Smash, because I feel like they probably have fabulous highlight. Just their appearance is like lightning. That means that they're probably shiny as fuck. And I love a shiny bitch.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I have so much highlight that I personally own. I'm constantly trying to be like lightning.
It's giving Edward Cullen a little bit.
Ooh, yeah.
It's giving
exactly what I pass. No,
that's fair. And that's fair. We, you know.
It's giving a gloss bomb.
Yeah. Fenty gloss bomb.
Yeah.
Okay. This one is from Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head. And his face was like the sun and his legs like pillars of fire. Smash or pass?
You sound Hispanic. Smash.
I would also smash.
Yeah, smash the rainbow over the head. I was like, sounds gay, I'm in.
He's got a rainbow and he sounds tan to me. Okay, hey.
Okay, this one's the last one. It's a little bit long, but after this we're done. So this one's from, this is where the be not afraid phrase comes from. Daniel chapter 10, verse 4. Well, actually 4 through 12, but here we go. On April 23rd, as I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River, I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me, my face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there, my face to the ground. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God, so listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Then he said, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first days you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer.
Smash.
Seems nice. I'd smash. Yeah.
Again, sounds like he could be Hispanic. And also his mere presence makes crowds disappear. People run away. Oh my God. I'd be able to finally see a concert in person and not have to like... import my shit to see the stage.
Yes. And also I like that this one kind of shows how scary angels, how scared angels make people feel.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say, Jaya?
I was gonna say pass, because I don't want to be fainting.
That's true.
It's this probably also just blood sugar. It's okay. Yeah. He also sounds tall. He sounds like he's 6'5". I'm in.
Yeah. This did remind me of I forget the name of the book, the Mary Cardinal book, when your girlfriend is a evil monster or something, that they can't look at each other, or she can't look at the Eldritch girlfriend because the mere sight of her horrifies her. I don't know if you remember reading that with me, mm-hmm. but that's kind of like what this reminds me of. Like, I cannot behold because my human brain cannot take the what's going on here.
I mean, I've met people who were like too good looking and who it was like hard to talk to because they were so attractive, would still smash, would just like you know, not feel confident about myself while it's happening, but I'd be like, wow, this is amazing. A feast for the eyes. Behold.
Now that we have heard all of them, right? That was all of them.
That was all of them. Yes.
I think the one that I would put a ring on would be the one with hooves.
Yes. That's Okay, well, thank you for playing Angelic Smasher Pass with me. I hope that was a good experience for you. It was really fun to collect all of these. I didn't ever think that I would be quoting scripture in Romance Book Club, but, you know, life is full of surprises. And so, yeah. So that's it. Those are all my questions and my little fun Angelic mini game.
I do want to know one final thought, because I think this came up when we were talking about this, where I said I wanted an angel like sugar daddy, and Chris was like, no, I want to be the angel sugar daddy to Shy.
Which one has to work the least? That'll be me. That'll be me.
you can be my sugar babies. I will be the
carry me, angel. Like sugar mama. I am
with my four wings. My four sets of wings.
If being a sugar baby means that I don't have to work, then like sure.
Oh no, nobody. This book,
Diego still had to like have a job.
It was foreplay. It was just foreplay.
No. I'll rescue puppies. That's my job. Give me money. That's going to be what my work is. Thank you, Angel Zaddy.
Amazing. Okay. Yeah. I want to be the angel. I want to be the terrifying supreme being. And y'all want to be taken care of. And that's okay. I respect that. That's perfectly fine. Those were our final thoughts. Let's move on to what we're reading. What else are you reading? And then we'll talk about what we're reading next month and what you can expect from us in a couple of weeks and a year. I am currently reading very fun book, 100 Years, The 100 Years War on Palestine, A History of Settler Colonialism and Resistance from 1917 to 2017. It's really dense. I picked it up for Read Palestine Week. It's very good, and a lot of the things, you know, you absorb a lot through, you know, a lot of activists and a lot of information sharing online, but it's way better just to read the books. And so I encourage everybody to go ahead and go to the source, you know, and check it out. I know that Sim Kern had suggested it and was kind of like doing a chapter by chapter breakdown. And so that's been helpful. I'll read a part and then I'll go watch their breakdown, and I can put that in the description. And yeah, I'll put a couple other resources as well if you want to learn a little bit more about that. But that's what I'm reading right now.
I'm reading a YA called Ida in the Middle, but I don't know where I left it. I don't know why, because we do this every single episode, and usually I have my book with me, but I just was not thinking tonight and don't have the copy to share. But it's a speculative, it's not a time travel. I don't know if there's like a phrase for it, like for when it's a book where you like time travel, but you're not switching times, you're switching like places. Like to like a parallel life kind of thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, I was alternate timelines, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe like an alternate. I've only read a handful of books like that where it's like for us, it would be like, oh, I ate something and now I'm the Tashai who never left Puerto Rico. Or like, I ate this and I'm the Andrea who like married this ex-partner and has like five kids now. It's like that kind of thing where it's like
multiverse.
Yeah, yeah. So it's one of those kinds of books. And so it's interesting because I think I'm not very far in, but I think it's one of those books where like the main character will have to choose. Like, do I stay in the timeline I travel to, or do I go back? So that'd be interesting. pero no sé todavía, like, what direction it's going to take. I don't know. I don't know what I would choose if faced with, like, alternate Drea timelines. Like, I think that would be really hard to, like, because I feel like we're so focused on, like, all the negative things about our current lives that I don't, I feel like I would be tempted by any sort of alternate timeline just because it isn't my current one. But anyway.
What's the name of the book again?
Ida in the Middle.
I have a copy of Bloodmarked, which is the second from the Legendborn series. So I got that digital copy from the library. So I don't know if I'm going to read that one just yet. I'm trying to decide if I want to, like, read something else first, because I had grabbed one or two books recently and I was going to start them. So I'm trying to, like, decide. But I think that one, at least, I know I'm going to be reading soon, if not next.
Yeah. It is the time to decide what books to finish the year out with, yeah?
Yeah, I hit my reading goal, though. I did 45.
Yay! Congratulations!
And I increased it because I'd done 40, and then I finished sooner than I thought I was going to be. So I'm like, I'll do 5 more. It's a lot of stuff that I really liked this year, so.
That's great. That's great. And you read 12 books with us. So, you know, we were a little part of that. That's fantastic. I'm really proud of you. Thanks for sharing, everybody. This is the last read of 2023. I cannot believe that the year is over. I just can't believe it. And so in January, we're starting kind of like a new rotation. But before we do that, we will be coming at you with the Only Lovers Awards. That's when we're going to pick our favorites. We kind of like reflect on the year. We talk a little bit about our resolutions, our reading resolutions, what we want to do, what we don't want to do. And yeah, so be on the lookout for that. And then in January, it's going to be my pick again. Baby, I swear it's deja vu. So we are going to be reading one of the books that I just have in my house. One of the things that I'm trying to do this year is like read the books that I have in my house. And one of them just so happens to be Mortal Follies by Alexis Hall. I got this from Delray Books. And it is a young noblewoman must pair with an alleged witch to ward off a curse in this irresistible sapphic romance from the best-selling author of Boyfriend Material. So this sounded like a lot of fun. I did take a peek at the first chapter, and it's kind of like being told from the point of view of a fairy. So you're just kind of like being told what happens. And I'm digging it so far, and I hope you will dig it too when the time comes. So thank you so much, friends, for reading this year with me and being in this book club. We've had ups and downs in our personal lives, but I can always get grounded when I come to book club. So I appreciate you. And I appreciate you, listeners and watchers. Thank you so much for, you know, listening to us throughout the years and watching our videos and liking. If you want to give us a cute little holiday present at the end of the year, you can just, you know, hit that like button. Or if you're listening, give us a 5-star review. Let us know what you think. Leave us a comment. Just interact with our stuff. And also share our stuff so that more people can find us and we can get more people in the club. You know. But yeah. Anyway, till next year, fellas and ladies and ladies, bye. Thank you for making it to the end of our episode. The last episode of 2023. I can't believe it. Once again, thank you for spending some time with us this year. Make sure you like that video or leave us a comment. And if you're listening, don't forget to leave us a review. You can support Only Lovers Book Club by subscribing to our shows and sharing our episodes. That's completely free. But if you have a little bit of extra change, you can use our coffee link to leave us some change in our tip jar or even buy some books from our bookstore. You can find us on Instagram at Only Lovers Book Club.